And now, as I begin the process of explaining this meditation, I'm going to tell you that I'm only explaining it to you as I learned it. As a great teacher, as Guruji explained it to me on the tape that he sent to me, and then later in letters, and then later in person. And so, what I would ask you to do now is to remove all of your doubt and to open yourself up to entering into a world which you have been conditioned to reject. It's very much like taking on the attitude of willingly suspending your disbelief, which is what you do when you enter into a movie theater. And you look at the movie theater and you don't say to yourself, well, this is a two-dimensional screen and I'm not going to be sucked into this and get my emotions be torn around by this particular screen. I know that that's just lights being projected from the rear of the room onto this two-dimensional screen. You don't do that. You walk into the theater and you say, entertain me. I willingly suspend my disbelief. And then you let go. And then when you finish in the theater, you come back and you talk about it, and you know that for the hour or two or three that you were in the theater, you have suspended all disbelief. This is what you have to do with this meditation. You have to understand that you're still a cookie thief. You still have this idea that you know what reality is based upon conditioned responses. And there, while I do not deny that what you know about reality to be true, I would suggest that there are other separate realities as well that you probably have been fearful of entering because of your tribal conditioning. And now what you want to do is let go of that, just temporarily, for 20 minutes every morning and 20 minutes every evening. And I encourage you to practice this meditation and do it for 90 days. At sunrise, if you possibly can. And at sunset, if you can. And at sunrise, a lot of you will say, yes, but I can't get up that early. But what I want to tell you is that when you practice meditation, you learn that you need much less sleep because you get more rest in 20 minutes of meditation than you will get in 3 or 4 hours of sleep. And this, again, goes back to your tribal conditioning. I need to sleep for 1/3 of my life. 1/3 of my life. If you live 90 years, that means you're going to sleep for 30 years. Okay? And you ask yourself the question, perhaps I could cut that down and get another 10 years of awaking consciousness. Or I could learn that all of that which I can do in my sleep, which I talked about in some of my earlier programs, and you'll see it when you believe it, and transformation, that you can become a waking dreamer, that you can learn to be awake and do all of those magical things that you can do while you're sleeping, which is to transcend time and to go back and forth as you can be a young person and an old person, all of those things that you do every night, that flying that you do when you wake up and look back on it, being 12 again, being with someone who's passed on, changing shapes, being an animal, all of those things that you think, you know, I do that for 1/3 of my life. You know, when they asked Lao Tzu that question, he said, I went to sleep and I dreamt that I was a butterfly. Then I awoke, and now I don't know. Am I a man who dreamt that he was a butterfly, or am I a butterfly who's dreaming that he's a man? How could I know? It's just 2/3, 1/3. Which third is it that you are using? This idea of being able to meditate and manifest was something I had never really considered before. But I was open to it, because being open is one of the things that I have been blessed with in my life. Just some people call it being gullible. But I've always just experimented and looked at new and strange ways. And the stranger it is, the more intrigued I am by it. And if it's really weird and really far out there, I want to go. That's probably why Stuart Wilde and I get along so well, who has another program with Nightingale Corner. that I did the introduction for. He's one of my dear friends. Taught me a lot about etheric energy and meditation and manifesting. And so I was told that the key to understanding this is to understand three words. And these three words are sounds have power. Now, again, this often will fly in the face of that which we have been taught by our ego mind. But the way it was explained to me made so much sense. Logically, it's like what we have to do with a lot of this kind of information, the spiritual information and the stuff that about being able to heal and the stuff about being able to have things show up and so on, is we have to get our left brain, we have to get the part of us that wants to reject all of this because of our conditioning, to believe it. The part of us that is analyzing and figuring and needing an explanation versus our right brain, which is the part of us that is intuitive and is the heart space and is just operates on feelings. So you want to try to bring these two together. And that's what this explanation did for me. The beauty of sound is that there are different dimensions. There's the dimension of the world of form that we all are experiencing, that we're all in. Right? What our bodies and our chairs and our beds and our houses and all of that. There's that world of form. And that's a vibration. It vibrates at a certain speed. And then there's the other level of way, way, way up past that called the etheric level, which is another vibration, the world of thought and the world of spirit. And lower than that, but still vibrating very fast, are things like x-rays. And then there's heat. And then there's light. And there's all of these things are vibrations, very, 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 very fast vibrations until you get down to where we can actually see things and touch things. That's a level of vibration. But in between that etheric level of very, very, very fast vibration, the vibration in which things begin to materialize, to go from waves to particles, in between there's an intermediary dimension. And that intermediary dimension between the world of form and the world of spirit or thought is the vibration of sound. And sound is our access to those higher, faster vibrations of speed and thought. So that even though we can't see sound, we can measure it pretty well with scopes and so on. We can tell how fast the vibrations go. Through sound, we can leave the world of form and use it as a vehicle for getting to that level of divine intelligence, which is vibrating at a very, very, like trillions and trillions and trillions of times per second, versus sound, which is between 30,000 vibrations and, say, 16,000 vibrations, whatever it is.